We now welcome you to People's Valley Baptist Church Ministry in the Word with Pastor Darryl.
Down in faith, and tonight, just for a little while, I want to talk to you about resting faith. Resting faith, amen. Comes to us at a time when, as the story goes, very familiar scripture here tonight. If you would you stand with me just one more time? The honor, the reading of God's Word tonight. His holy, infallible Word tonight. And the Word of God says, Matthew 11:28, it says, very familiar, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You may be seated, amen, tonight. Thank you for standing with us tonight. You know, it's very familiar tonight's scripture. It speaks of an invitation tonight that's threefold as we read this and as we hear it tonight. It invites us to rest from the burden and also from the guilt of sin as we look at it tonight. It invites us tonight to have the submission of faith, the obedience that we should have. And then it also invites us to discipleship, to learn of Him. Come and rest, meaning the salvation that it represents to us tonight. And I thank God the word rest that it speaks, it changes on us. And in the 28th verse, it begins to deal with that of a noun, meaning to cease from laboring, to cease from labor, to pause and to rest and to stop. It is in the active voice in the 28th verse that it refers to this, to a refreshing. And then it goes into the 29th, the word rest begins to go into a verb of a refreshing rest that it refers to make to cease is what it's talking about here tonight, that it begins to give us as of the Sabbath rest that it is referred to here. And you know, in the 10th chapter of Matthew, here we see also in the 11th chapter of Matthew, it is something that is similar. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, he's addressing the disciples. But then in the 11th, he's dealing with an issue of some of the disciples of John the Baptist, but actually he's really referring to some of the crowds. He's speaking to the crowds himself, the crowds that would be struggling, that they cannot see Jesus as their coming King. The ones that are struggling with seeing that picture. And their dialogue is basically initiated by the disciples that had come from John the Baptist. Because what? You remember the story. John had sent them over to Jesus to find out who he was, amen. And during that time, all this began to take place. John had recognized Jesus at the baptizing. And it clearly marked him by God who he was. But then here, John, as we talked about doubting faith last Wednesday night, there was that bit of doubt that was there when he sent word, because he didn't need to send word. But I guarantee you, Jesus knew how to answer him in a way that he knew who he was. Because listen, he said them over in Matthew early in the 4th and the 5th. He says, "Go back and you report to John what you hear and see." He says, "The blind receive their sight. The lame, they walk." He said, "Those who have leprosy, they are cured, and the deaf hear." He says, "The dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." What was he saying? Saying, well, he was doing those things. Hey, greater than he was doing those things. He was prophesying. He knew John knew exactly what he was talking about because he was quoting Isaiah 35, praise God. He was quoting Isaiah 35, and Isaiah 35, 4 through 6 says, "Say to them that are of the fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you." Now listen, in the 5th verse of Isaiah 35, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out in the streams." And you know what he was saying to John? When he told them disciples, "You go back and tell them this." When they went back, and you know when John heard that, he right off the bat thought of Isaiah 35.
right off the bat because he knew what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, yes, I'm the one. I'm the one that's come. That's the Messiah. I'm the Savior of the world. Amen. That's what he was saying here. Praise God. Christ was painting two pictures in this passage. And I ain't got to my text yet, but I'll get there. Amen. In just a minute. But he was painting one picture of the extreme weariness. The extreme weariness of a person that has gone far as they can go. And I tell you, he can go no farther than that. I tell you, he can't take another step whatsoever. The extreme weariness that he's painting a picture to. And then the other picture that he paints is of an extreme pressure. Can you imagine you ever had pressure so much that you thought, well, if you just lost your life, you would have a relief sometimes. The pressure is extreme upon you. And that's how this was, the picture that he is painting. A person that is about to explode. I'm telling you, he cannot take anything else whatsoever. Christ, I tell you, does not say what caused the weariness or the pressure or the heavy burdens when he quoted this. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I thank God, his invitation was open to all. I tell you, it was a simple invitation requiring so little an offering, so much. I thank God he said, come unto me. Take my yoke and learn of me was what he was saying. And he was referring to salvation as that rest, amen. That first invitation, I tell you, to come unto me. I thank God the cry, I'm going to get to it in just a minute, amen. But the cry of the Christian religion, I tell you, is the gentle word, come. I thank God. Oh, I tell you, the Jewish law was harsh. The Jewish law was harsh because it said, you go take heed unto thy steps. As to the pass, I tell you, in which thou shalt walk, break the commandments, and thou shalt perish. Keep them, and thou shalt live. And that's how the Jewish law is. It is harsh. I'm going to tell you. But I thank God the Christian religion is gentle. It says, come. And Jesus is that good shepherd that goes before us all. The law repels, the gospel attracts. The law shows the distance which is between God and man, but the gospel bridges that awful chasm, I tell you, and brings that sinner across it, thank God, I tell you. And from the first moment of your spiritual life until you are ushered into glory, I tell you, the language of Christ that you will hear is come, come unto me, praise God. I thank God for that. As a mother begins to put out her hand, I tell you, or her finger, I tell you, to that little child, I tell you, and woos it, I tell you, and begins to say, come. I'm going to tell you, that's how Christ does every one of us today. I tell you, everyone, he says, who is to come? He says, all that are weary, all that are burdened, all of those. You know, there's a lot of things that begins to exhaust us this day and time. Work begins to exhaust us where we're overburdened with too much to do. We've got the worldliness that's out there today, the carnality and the fleshly pleasure. They were saying something on the television this morning about before I left to work. They were talking about how the pornography is in every home. Now, the devil has made it available to be in every home. They ain't got to go down to the magazine store, or they just go down to the personal computer, and boom, there it is. Why, even preachers, while they might be studying their sermon, boom, there it is. Why, children, if you ain't got the kind of security on it, boom, there it is. It is horrible today. I'm gonna tell you, of all the money, the material possessions, and all of the unsatisfying spirits of both of those things, the fame, the emptiness of it, the power and the loneliness that everything goes, why should the weary and the heavy laden come to Christ? Very simply, because Christ will give them rest. The rest. I tell you, you don't know the answer to rest is not searching after truth through religion. Notice what I'm saying, how I'm saying that. The answer to rest is not searching after the truth through religion. But even though that might be important. And I'm going to tell you something. Here is the answer to rest is not positive thinking either. That might be important. And it is not seeking the counsel of true and reliable friends that you're around. Listen, the answer to rest is coming to Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the answer tonight. Oh, I remember the demon-possessed man when Jesus dealt with that guy. I'm going to tell you something. In Luke chapter 8, verse 35, the Bible said that the man out of whom the devils were departed was sitting, S-I-T-T-I-N-G, at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And the another word for that word sitting is rest. Rest, I'm telling you. It was that new posture. I tell you, I thank God, boy, the world's got it all wrong today, because I thank God, He says when He saved us, all things become new, amen. We become a new creature. And I'm going to tell you, if they say they're Jesus and born again, but they still look like the world, there's something wrong, because He'll clean the inside up. And I'm telling you the Bible tonight, He'll clean the inside up. And when He cleans the inside up, He'll clean the outside up. You won't look like the world on the outside when Jesus gets done with you. That rest that He gives you. Boy, I thank God, here was the resting and the reverent when Jesus got done with the demons that were in that man that was possessed, thank God. Boy, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was revering Him, thank God. He was sitting down. He was robed, I tell you, clothed. He was rational, amen, in his right mind, praise God. He was ruled, I tell you, in his right mind, praise God, because Satan was gone. He couldn't stay. I'm going to tell you, the Christian's rest is, I tell you, there's two rests that are promised by Jesus Christ. And they are this, the rest of salvation and justification. I tell you, the rest of conscience, the rest of conquest that we have, the triumph, I tell you, that a person experiences, I tell you, when he conquers the enemies of sin with Christ as his help, and the evil that's out there today, the evil powers that before us today, the rest of victory that we have through our daily storms of life. But there is the rest of salvation or justification, but there is also the rest of sanctification, amen. And I thank God for that he tells us that tonight. Listen, I'm getting to it just in a minute. I'll be there. It's that rest of refreshment that I'm talking about. It's that rest, I tell you, that fits one for life tonight. That rest of encouragement, I tell you, that motivates the soul tonight, amen. That stirs, I tell you, a person to live and undertake the God-given task and the enthusiasm and the vigor and the endurance that comes, I tell you, with having rest in your soul. Now, I'm getting to it now. Rest in faith. Rest in faith is what is it? What is rest in faith? It is a faith that simply that we simply rest in and wait on God. I'm going to say that one more time. Resting faith is this, and this is something I really know about tonight. It's a faith that simply rests in and waits on God. How many times have we, come on God, we try to tell God to hurry up. You know, I got a timetable here, and I need you to hurry on up, you know, because I can't take this anymore. I'm going to tell you, He knows exactly where you're at. He knows that you can't take it anymore. He knows your breaking point. But listen, that resting faith is where you're just resting in and then waiting on God. That's what it's about tonight. That's what it's about. I'm going to tell you, no matter what happens today or tomorrow, if He gives us, I'm assured that God is in control of my circumstances. He's in control of your circumstances. And when your thinking gets that way, boy, you begin to say, oh, I've got resting faith, I tell you tonight. And that is the theme when we define faith. The theme of all the saving faith, the securing faith, the doubting faith. But here is that resting faith. When faith begins in the soul, I tell you, it's but as a grain of mustard seed. Amen. As Brother Robert Lefford gave me here a while back. And I keep that in my study. And I do like, who was that said they got that? Somebody here. Johnny Jones, was it? Says he gets that grain of mustard. Boy, I get that thing. And I got it right up on my study when I pray in there. Boy, I look at that little thing. I said, man, ain't much to that, you know. There ain't really much to that little grain of mustard seed. Oh, I tell you. But I'm going to tell you, here is what it's all about. I tell you, God's people are not born giants. Not a one of us are born giants. We're babes first. I'm going to tell you. And as we're babes in grace, so then the graces are as it were in their infancy. I'm going to tell you, faith is but as that little child. And when, I tell you, when first God gives it to us, or as we use another figure tonight, I tell you, it's not a fire, but it's but a spark in our life, that it starts out like a spark plug. It's just a little spark, I tell you. And that spark seems as if it goes out sometimes. All of a sudden, we got a little spark going on in our life, and it don't seem like there's much of a flicker to it sometimes. But then nevertheless, when we begin to fan that thing, Boy, I'm going to tell you, when something begins to happen and we faint it, we keep that spark alive. And I tell you, and it cometh into a flame when God gets done with it. Amen. Because it's a resting faith. Amen. It is, the rest is that central concept, I tell you, in that Christian life that embraces, I tell you, us on a personal level, I tell you. And it's different from the sleep. It's different from the serenity. It's different from the Sabbath. Amen. It's different from the salvation. That resting faith, all of those are physical things, but resting faith is something that is more, much more. It's on that personal level, I tell you, where we can just go to God and believe in what He's able to do. And tonight, I ain't got but 2 points. He said, well, that's why it took so long for my introduction, amen, because it's a short sermon, amen. Amen, that's God give me that, and that's what it is, amen. But I thank God, worry is hazardous to our health a lot of times. Medical experts, they agree that worry and stress can cause health problems. And it does, I'm going to tell you. And there's a cure, though, however. People say, where's it at? Let me go get it. Hey, it's right here. Amen. It's in God's house. Amen. That's the cure. Amen. I saw and cure people that had to go and do things. My mom was just telling me tonight, and we were eating together tonight. She says, I about had a nervous breakdown years ago. Says the doctor couldn't prescribe nothing that would help me, but Jesus had exactly what I needed, amen. And that's exactly the truth tonight, I tell you. I thank God there is a cure, and His name is Jesus, and He offers to take our worries on, amen, and give us peace in return, amen, tonight. I tell you, in a world filled with worry and stress, I tell you, we'd be wise to accept Jesus, His gracious offer that He has for us tonight, amen. We're feeling stressed out. But I'm going to say, I got 2 points tonight. The first one, the resting faith is an undisturbed faith. It is something that you may not be there in your Christian walk, but you can get there. A resting faith is that undisturbed faith that we have, amen. And I tell you, the best way to find out if you have resting faith tonight, church, is to see how you respond when things don't go right. Because I guarantee you, it'll tell up on you. I may not be speaking proper English, but I'm going to say, it will tell up on me. I'm telling you, I'm saying it right tonight. It may not sound like I know what I'm saying, but I'm going to tell you, you will respond in things when they don't go right for you. Most of the time, when God is working in our lives, we're not quite certain what's going on sometimes. And why things are turning out the way that they are. That's when you become vulnerable. And that's when the old devil will begin to do all that he can to disturb your faith. Listen, I'm going to tell you, don't let him do it tonight, church. Learn to resist that old devil tonight. James 4:7 says what? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. That's what James tells us, amen. When you hear the challenge today, you know, they say, just say no to drugs. Just say no to the devil, amen. Now, I know it's a lot harder than that. I know it's a complicated thing sometimes, but that's it. That's what it's about, is saying no to the devil. I'm going to tell you, I told you this before, if you got to pull off the side of the road and open your door and say, devil, get out of here, and tell him to get out of your vehicle if he's in there with you, but invite him to get out. Say no to the devil tonight, amen. And when you're at rest and when your faith is being tested, as you test yourself, you'll see what you're made out of. You'll see what kind of faith that you got. You know, some people run at the first sign of problems sometimes. Some people get angry when things don't go right. Jonah did, didn't he? Jonah began to run, didn't he? He got on a ship, but hey, listen, you're just like Jonah. You can't run away from what you're destined for. You can't run away from it. Why, he'll send a big fish out there and he's waiting on you. I tell you, you'll be in the belly of that whale, and I guarantee you that when they draw sticks, yours will come up the shortest every time. Because you're destined, I'm telling you, to go through what you're going through. Doesn't mean that God's not in control, though. God, I tell you, had that old thing get sick and put him right up on dry land out of the seaweeds and all that he was in the time that he was in the belly of the whale, amen. Boy, I'm going to tell you, every day, you know, I was reading a story this week about the days of the old Civil War, and it was illegal back then to trade in cotton. And during the time when the South had lost the war, and here this couple of folks had a bunch of bales of cotton, and they come up on this one of the Union officers over there on one of the flat-bottom boats, and they were trying to proposition him anyway to take that cotton. And he said, hey, I'll give you $100 if you run this cotton up the river for me. You know, I'll give you $100. And finally, he went up to $500. He said, can't do it? No. Finally, he got up to $1,000, and that captain drew his pistol out, And he says, hold it right there. He says, I need you to get out of here and get out of here right now and don't make no more offers. And then you know why? Because he was getting close to his price. You see, every one of us, we got a price whether we realize it or not. And $1,000, it was getting close to his price. And if it went on a little further, it would have made it. And I'm going to tell you, we're about the same way sometimes, you know. Every one of us, we've got a certain price that as we begin to ask ourselves, what would it take, I tell you, for me to quit trusting God? Every one of us, ask yourself that, I tell you. What would it take? How much would it? What would it? Would it a brand new mansion or a Ferrari? Or what is it that would have really appealed to you? What would it take, I tell you? Every one of us, we could say from experience, I tell you, that I learned that I have resting faith. Learn to resist the devil and to determine also to trust in God. Determine to rest in God, I tell you. To trust Him, I tell you. To wait on Him sometimes. It is hard to do. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to do. It's like I'm going to tell you, I was ordering something for the church, and I tell you, this is a bad example, I'm going to tell you, but I wanted that, and I said, well, put a rush on that thing. You know, we want to put a rush on it sometimes. I was talking to that lady in California today. I was telling Paul. Paul said, you better look out. You're dealing with California. I can't remember how quite he put that, but I'm going to tell you something. Determined to trust in God, I'm telling you. There's nothing in life that can change God's love for you. I want you to remember that tonight. There is nothing, I tell you, nothing that can change His love for you tonight, church. I'm going to tell you, for you are His child, and you've got to trust Him. That's what it's all about tonight. Boy, I'm going to tell you, 2 Samuel 22:31 says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. That word buckler, it means shield. It means protector. Amen. I tell you, I can't help but think of Psalms 27:1 when I think of that the Lord is my light. I tell you, He's my salvation, praise God. Whom shall I fear? I tell you, the Lord is the strength, I tell you, of my life tonight. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's the one that's there for us, amen. He's that salvation. He's that rest that we have, that security that we have, amen. I thank God, why should a person take up the yoke of Christ for us sometimes? You know, there's at least three reasons sometimes, because Christ is meek and lowly. You know, some owners of the oxen were mean, they were harsh back in them days, but both in their training and in their working, I tell you, of that oxen, but not Christ. He is calm. He knows exactly what you need, praise God. Of all that you go through, He gives you that gentleness that you need, amen. That encouraging that you need. You may not realize it, but right when you need it, He'll be there for you. He'll bring it to you, amen. You will find that rest, amen. Christ's yoke is easy, I tell you. His burden is light. The ox's yoke, I tell you. That old wooden yoke that they put on that old ox that would be out there, I tell you. That collar-like instrument, I tell you, that's placed on the neck and the shoulders of that old oxen, I tell you. Boy, I'm going to tell you, whatever load that old ox had to pull, boy, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus helped carry the load, I'm telling you, that you're carrying. Boy, don't try to carry it all by yourself. He says, I'll take that load, amen. That burden is light when I get done. Boy, that old oxen, that might have rebelled against that yoke, I tell you. Sometimes we rebel against that yoke, that load, that heavy laden that we're going through sometimes. Boy, but we learn that it's eased because of that burden of the pulling. That yoke, it refers to that man's life and that task while they're on earth today. Every one of us. Well, I thank God what He's given us. Christ, He's that meek and lowly that we have. Let me move on along here, amen. I thank God He gives us that command that if we rest, amen, that we'll take His yoke upon us. That's what He says. He says not only what? He says that resting faith is an undisturbed faith. But also there is a resting faith that is an understanding faith. It is more understanding than we are sometimes in our life. Because we notice the words, and learn of me, he tells us in verse 28. He says, learn of me. It means to increase one's knowledge. You know, we were talking about how the Pharisees come up with all of those laws that were just ungodly. Boy, they would take them an old rope. They couldn't go but 1,000 miles on the Sabbath. But the Pharisees, they came up with a law. We need to go a little further. We need to go a little further than that sometimes. Hey, Let's just pull us a rope out here. That's the end of our property. And if that's the end of the property, we can. They also came up with, if you eat two meals somewheres, then that's considered your home and that you're at your home. So if you've rested at your home, then once you get done with those two meals, or if you want to pull a rope out and call it the end of your property, then you can go another 1,000 miles. That's the people that's telling you not to do something that is right in a way to get around it. I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us, that's how people are today. They got the wrong kind of knowledge, as we said Sunday, but the wisdom that he wants to give you, that spiritual learning, I tell you, is that great need in our lives and in this world today. I tell you, the prophet Hosea, he said this about Israel in his day. He says, my people, he said this, he said, my people are destroyed, I tell you, for a lack of knowledge. That's what he said. They're destroyed for a lack of knowledge because of that. Hosea 4:6, he told us. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's what it is today. We are to learn more about Jesus. And the more that we'll understand about faith, I tell you. Ephesians 5:17 says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, what do we think Paul as well? Paul had a good example of faith. Because we seem to understand more than others about living out his faith sometimes. As we look at the scriptures, it was because he had learned all that he could about Jesus. That's what he learned, amen. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, he says, for I determined not to know anything among you. He said, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that's what it's all about today, church. Remember what he said about Peter as well and John in Acts chapter 4 verse 13. He says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Woo, I tell you. Boy, I'm going to tell you. We're talking about resting faith tonight, church. A faith that understands. By that, I don't mean, I tell you, to say that we understand everything. Because nobody understands everything. And if they say they do, I'm telling you like it is, they're just telling me that's false. I mean to say that we're to learn as much as we can about Christ so that when we don't have the answers, we're able to sufficiently rest in Him. Notice what I said. Even when you don't have the answers, you can rest sufficiently in Him. Amen. We have that resting faith. And that's what it's all about sometimes. I don't know I've ever been able to explain anything quite well. I don't know if I'm helping you tonight, but I believe God is tonight. Amen. Amen. With what He's saying, because He is the one that has the wise thing to say. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes, He made a comment to the disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees. He said, and it went right over their head when He said it. He said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? Mark 8:21. You know what was the problem? The problem was they had not yet learned much about Jesus Christ. Their faith was small. I'm going to tell you tonight, you know Jesus. You know what He's able to do. That resting faith ought to be there tonight, I tell you. It ought to be there tonight. If you want to learn more about dealing with the daily difficulties of life, read about the life of Jesus. You say, man, that's the best answer I can ever give anybody. And it is the most wise answer that I can give anybody. Because who He is tonight. You know that faith and faithfulness are closely related. One cannot have, I tell you, true living faith. Nobody can. And not be faithful. And if a man is faithful, God will bless him with faith. And I'm going to tell you, that's what I just said. If you heard what I just said, if you're faithful to God, I guarantee He's going to bless you with faith. I tell you, it ain't the people that's living like every day of the week and living like this that God is going to be with them in their faith. I'm going to tell you, when you come and ask me to pray for you, if I come to ask you, you're basing that on the faith that I have, amen, in my Heavenly Father. And I guarantee you, I'm not just blowing that off to be lightly. But that I'm living that and that I have that faith. Amen. That you have that faith. And that's what we're talking about tonight. When we're resting in our faith, even when things are not well for us, we can continue to be faithful. I'm going to tell you tonight, why does some feel that a time of testing exempts them from serving God? Boom. I've ran into people all everywhere, and when they're going through a test, I can't serve God, I can't go to church, I can't. Man, what's wrong with you then? What? You don't have any faith then if you have to quit serving God when you're going through a test. I found that the best way to get my mind off of a problem is to get busy serving God. Amen. I'm telling you to get involved. Praise God. And some will say this problem is so bad I just need a break. That's what they'll say. Well, I'll need a break from time to time, you know. But I'll tell you what they mean is, I'm just going to quit serving God. That's what I'm telling you. They told me that, and they are not here today. Hey, that's not a rest in faith. That's not faith at all. I'm telling you tonight, church. Jesus, what did he say? He said, learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the more that we learn about Jesus, the more that we see him as a servant, faithfully serving others, faithfully serving his heavenly Father. I tell you, Psalms 48 tells us, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. You ever think Jesus had a day when he didn't feel like getting up in the morning? Facing another day? I tell you, listening to the complainers? I tell you, facing the rejection? I tell you, suffering the physical and the emotional strain of it all? But I'm going to tell you, sure, he had a human side. But he was a man. He was the perfect man. Thank God. I tell you, Jesus is our example of how to live by faith, church. I tell you, how to rest in faith. And we need to learn, I tell you, more about him in order that we might know how to better rest in faith tonight. I thank God, amen, as we look at this tonight. I'm closing, amen, as I say that. I thank you tonight for listening to me, amen, about this and resting faith. I've never heard it said much before, amen. I didn't know what you call it, but that's the only way I know how to explain it is it's resting faith tonight. Amen. God may help us all learn, I tell you, the important lesson of what resting faith is all. A faith that waits on God and a faith that serves him while we're waiting. That's what it's all about right there. That's resting faith, amen. Who are we saved? I tell you, I'll get it out right. We who are, I tell you, saved find rest in Jesus Christ, amen. Those that are not saved, they will receive rest. But I'm going to tell you something, not the rest that they need to receive, not the rest that's of him. That's the rest I'm talking about tonight, because he promises to give it. I'm going to tell you, nothing can be a freer gift than what he promises tonight, that we gladly accept what he gives us tonight, church. Oh, I thank God. You are laden. Yes, you're heavy laden with sin, with fear, with care, remorse, fear of death. But then when you come to him, he'll unload you. He'll unload you tonight. Boy, I'm going to tell you, if that ain't refreshing tonight, he gives rest to us all. Church, thank you tonight for resting faith. Amen. I don't know if you ever knew what you call it tonight, but that's what I call it tonight. Amen. From the precious word of God. Amen. That's all it is we just begin to wait on him. Amen. Because his time frame is the right time frame for our lives. Amen. I thank you for being with us tonight. Amen. I want you to remember us this coming week. Amen. And also, you just pray that God will just bless us this Sunday if he gives us that far to go. Amen. He may come back and take us on.